creating art out of something so horrible like the end of the world. And I could make it sound like a high-pitched note or like a crazy drone, but I also like making it somehow beautiful.
Is there such a thing as Nordic music? Can music really sound like the place it's from, even if the place we talk about might encompass everything from sleek cities to intensely dramatic landscapes apparently teetering on the edge of the world? 12 composers from 7 countries are nominated for this year's Nordic Council Music Prize. I'm Andrew Meller, I'm a music journalist, and together on this podcast, we're going to delve into all 12 pieces of music and meet the people who made them. Hi, Sole, this is Andrew from Copenhagen.
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you very well, yes.
Yes, okay.
In this episode, we're heading to Iceland to meet Sole Stefansdottir, a genre-defying musician who is nominated for her remarkable album, Mother Melancholia.
Giving birth to everything, it's easy to eliminate brighter than any gray.
Where are you talking to us from today?
I am talking from my home in Reykjavik, Iceland.
I don't know if you have a view from where you're sitting, but if you do, perhaps you could describe it to us.
So I live in a beautiful old house. It's 115 years old. When I look out my kitchen window, it feels like I'm kind of out in the countryside because there's like an old broken down Volvo in the garden. It's kind of a beautifully messy garden over there.
And can you see any sight of this very distinctive Icelandic landscape, this dark lava we think of when we picture Iceland in our heads?
Well, you know, there's an eruption right now in Iceland, like a volcano eruption. So if I go a little bit to the ocean, I could see that. But I also, when I walk out my house and I look right, then I see a beautiful glacier on the other side of the ocean. It's called Snæfellsjökull. And when I walk out, I always look to the right to see if I see it. I just do it all the time. And it's super beautiful. But scientists say that this glacier won't be here in 30 years. So that's a sad story.
You're trying to picture it. But that's the look of your home in Reykjavik. But perhaps I can ask, is there a sound to Reykjavik?
Yeah. Well, sound of silence. We are, I think, around 200,000 people living in Reykjavik, 350,000-370,000 in the whole country. So we're few, and there's like never too much noise here, and there's never too many people like in the same place.
From her home in Iceland, Sole has been making music on all sorts of instruments for over 20 years. Listen to her work, and you hear someone on a constant quest to extend her musical language, her musical voice. Mother Melancholia, which is nominated for this year's Nordic Council Music Prize, is an album of 10 songs reflecting in often surprising ways on the idea of the end of the world. The prize committee describes it as a work of the utmost originality, in reality, one long meditation on the state of the world, gravitating between the pretty and the horrific. To me, Mother Melancholia sounds like Sole, and yet it doesn't. There is certainly something new and profound here. I'm intrigued by the effects she gets from wailing, drooping female voices and the pitch bending that sees her whole ensemble of musicians slide up or down off a note, as if the earth is slipping off its natural axis. This is an album whose exquisite, dreamlike atmosphere is stalked by a deep unease, the mass suicide of humanity, in Sole's words. It owes something to fatalistic Icelandic storytelling traditions, but it feels like an album of love and a farewell, more than one of apocalyptic doom. And a strangely soothing one at that.
I don't know. I think I like torturing myself in many ways. I also look at it as a beautiful thing. I know I shouldn't be saying that, but it is happening. We can't really avoid that. And the end of the world for us humans, you know, the planet, the earth will heal it or herself. So my first ideas were like, could there be like different endings? Like, can there be like this beautiful ending? And then can I make like a catastrophic ending with like, I'm just running from a volcanic eruption, or my child is running? Like, how will her future be? You know, I hope I'm not the only person in the world thinking about these things. You know, when I constantly think about them, I just have to create something out of it just to, I guess, heal myself.
Would you say becoming a mother has changed your perspective on making music, making art?
Yes and no. When I had my daughter 8 years ago, okay, I know that also sounds horrible, but my career was blooming in a way, and I got pregnant and I was like, oh no, what to do now? Like, I don't want to be only a mother. Like, I want to be a musician and I want to tour and I want to do all these things, you know. So I was super afraid first, but, you know, I've learned living with this now and about that being a parent in this world. I have taken some dives down to a darker place. It's what I'm talking about on the album as well.
When listening to the album, certainly I found we're hearing stories about the earth, but also about womankind. And you see a parallel there, don't you? Perhaps you could explain it.
I was reading a book called Sapiens. It's an interesting and very educating book. But after I finished it, I was thinking to myself, am I reading the story about mankind or am I reading a story about man? What were the women doing throughout all these years? This was kind of like my start of thinking about the earth and women, and then how equal this is, like how the abuse of women is equal to the abuse of the earth. This was my first big question, like, what am I seeing here? And I started just looking at this, and I found this branch of feminism called ecofeminism, which talks about exactly that. It's like how we treat the earth like we treat women. And the question is it easier for us to abuse the earth because we consider it a female or a woman? I was like, why can't people see that? Like, it's just right here, you know? So that was an interesting kind of eye-opening factor for creating the album.
I was very interested to read that you'd taught yourself some instruments, rediscovered some other instruments. You'd immersed yourself in the world of the theremin, the moog. What did these very kind of specific sounding instruments unlock in you as a musician, would you say?
So I studied classical piano when I was young and up until I was a teenager, like both classical and jazz. So I've been in music school my whole life and I studied composition, you know, and I'm very happy that I did that. But I've recently also discovered that my musical education was really strict. There was not much improvising, you know, it was just not there yet in music school at the time. So I buy, for example, the accordion. Suddenly I didn't have the keyboard like you have on piano, but it's upside down. And it's there are like fewer octaves and the accordion breathes. So it's just like singing, you know, you have to breathe it out and in. From the moment that I took up the accordion, I think that was like an eye-opening moment. I can do whatever I want. I studied composition and I was just going to be a composer. But then I, out of nowhere, just fell into this pop kind of music train. And for 15 years, I've been there, you know, I was like, what? Well, you know. How did that happen? But that's beautiful. And I'm so happy for that. Suddenly, like simple things were okay to do, you know, because there's like a classical ghost haunting me since I was studying music that, you know, you have to do the right chord progression or you have to do the right structure. Everything has to be right. So buying a theremin and buying like things that I can't really control was really freeing for me. I don't play accordion like perfectly, but I played my way, and it was really freeing, you know, to just be able to be a little amateur for a while.
Was there also some sense of you freeing yourself from the kind of simplicity of the grammar of a pop song? Because people have heard in this album that your music is more expansive. It's in a sense more complex, while at the same time being perhaps, you know, the utterance of it more clear, more simple. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it does. And that was exactly what I was trying to do somehow. The complex things, they come from a different area than I'm used to, you know, not making a song with like 20 chords or fucking up the chord structure or the song structure, but more expanding the life of the song. A verse can be 8 minutes or something, you know, and it can't be only one chord. Like, no one is there to tell me that I can't do it, you know. I love making pop music, but I also really love pushing like the edges, you know, of pop music. And that's kind of my favorite thing to do, is like, how can I make pop music but still make it, you know, kind of take it and mold it as I want.
It's such a beautiful listening experience, your album, despite the subject matter. And I wonder, do you sometimes think that we're a little too obsessed with dystopian visions, images, fiction, film these days?
Yes, definitely. And blame the media or not, it's a triggering thing that humans like, all these negative news. But for me, creating art out of something so horrible like the end of the world or I mean, I could make it sound like just a high-pitched note or like a crazy drone. I mean, there are drones and stuff on the album, but I also like making it somehow beautiful. We will all die.
That's for sure, yeah. It's been so great to talk to you about this. Thank you so much for your time, yeah. Soleil, and good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, see you.
Soleil Stefansdottir there, whose album Mother Melancholia will have you thinking about the end of the world in perhaps more subtle and beautiful ways than you thought possible. And remember, Soleil is just one of 12 nominees for 2022's Nordic Council Music Prize. You can listen to all 12 talk about their music on this series. Just head to wherever you're listening from now. You can also read about the nominated works at norden.org. I'm Andrew Meller, and this podcast was produced for the Nordic Council by Niels Bjørn and Ines Gack at Immersive Stories. Thanks for listening.